We're discussing now the different types of animals, shofars that might be kosher or not kosher for Rosh Hashanah and Yovel. I hope on Monday we'll talk a little bit about more of the details of kafuf and pashut. But today I want to talk about the inyan of behema tameya as it relates to shofar and as it relates to other mitzvahs as well. So the Gemara here just talks about Ya'el and different types of animals. A paro we saw was puzzle. But the Ron in the back on the riff, he brings an interesting discussion. No one else, I don't think any other Rishonim talk about this other than the Ron. And he says that this whole discussion is only legabe tahorim, legabe kosher animals. But with respect to Temeim, a non-kosher animal, he says, it wouldn't be good because lo huchshar l'mlecha shemayim ela shel behema tahora bilvad. It's a mefurish gemara that you hopefully got a chance to see. That when it comes to Mlecha Shemayim, anything that, which what the sugya is about, what's Mlecha Shemayim, which mitzvahs, but Mlecha Shemayim, something that is involved in a mitzvah, at least right now, it has to come from a kosher animal. And since shofar is considered Mlecha Shemayim, because it's Kevin de Lizikaron Kaasu, it's Kilifnim Dami, and therefore shofar should also have that same criteria of only coming from a behema tahora, not a behema tameya. And then the Ran steps back and says, well, it's not really such a raya. Because it sounds like the Mishkan itself, which is a Melech HaShemayim, the Gemara was figuring out whether or not a Tachash, which was a certain type of a unicorn of some sort, whether that was considered a kosher animal or not a kosher animal. And there's a possibility that a non-kosher animal was used as part of the Mishkan. So maybe it's not such a ride. Maybe you really don't need a Behemah Torah for Melech HaShemayim. And he leaves off as a Tzarech Im. Not sure whether Behemah Temeah will work for Shofar. Halach Lamaisa, based on this Ran, the Shulchan Aruch quotes him, the Ramar actually quotes him, that it's possible to use a behema tameya. The Mishnah Berurah says that since it's not so clear that a behema tameya is really possible, so if all you have is a behema tameya, a horn from a non-kosher animal, so then you should certainly use it on Rosh Hashanah, if no other choice, but not to say a bracha. And then if one gets a kosher animal afterwards, a Rosh Hashanah, certainly go back and biyote the tekios with a kosher animal. And it's all because the Ran wasn't sure. He's mistopic, the Shartian. It's unclear how he paskin. Now, I'm not getting to the Metzius. They point out non-kosher animals don't have horns. How that exactly works, it's one of the Raya's simonim that it is a kosher animal, not a kosher animal. So I don't know much about animals. I like animals. I don't know much about them. I didn't do any research, so we'll leave that. If anyone wants to do research, let me know. But the poskim do talk about this. So that's the basic idea in terms of halach lemaisa. But let's understand a little bit about the sugi, the lomdus, and the application to other mitzvahs as well. So the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Chaf Ches Mabez says that if we're just building up types of mitzvahs. So there's what's called, we mentioned this the other day in the Temin Halacha, about mitzvahs, Tashmishe Kedusha, Tashmishe Mitzvah. Tashmishe Kedusha are any mitzvahs that have, as I mentioned, Shemos Hashem, or Psukim, or Osios. I don't know if I mentioned this, the Nefesh HaChaim. Chaim Volozhin writes, it's a beautiful piece, he talks about how all Kedusha in this world comes from the Osios. So that's why a base Knesset has Kedusha, because there's a Sefer Torah in Aron Kodesh. So that's why Tefillin and Mezuzah and Sefer Torah, all these have Psukim, they have Osios. The Osios is what gives Kedusha. When something doesn't have a Kedusha anymore, you could speak about the breaking of the Luchos also. You spoke at Shavir Luchos when the Osios, Porchos, they flew away. So there's no Kedusha left to the Luchos. Osios is what gives something Kedusha. And he explains, that's why I think it connects this discussion to whether or not there's still Kedusha, Kedusha Rishonu Kitcha Lashaita, the Kitcha Lasalava, or not Lasalava, whether there's still Kedusha now on Har Bais, is dependent on the Machlokas in the Gemara and Yuma, whether or not the Aron was hidden underneath the Har Bais somewhere, or was taken away to Rome somewhere we don't know. So if the Aron is in the Har Bais, we just don't know where it is, but it's there, and it's there with the Sefer Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu Sefer Torah, it's there with the Luchos. So since the Osios are there, there's Kedusha there, and that's where there's Kedusha. But if it's not there, like the other Mandamer, then there's no Kedusha. So anything that has Osios of Psukim and Torah, so that would be Tashmishe Kedusha. And that certainly would require Behema Torah. Anything you make from it, the parchment, the tefillin, all that, since it's made from Osios and uses Osios, that's called Tashmishe Kedusha, does need a Behema Torah. And that's based on the Gemara and Shabbos that says, Tia Taras Hashem Beficha, that with respect to tefillin, it says that there's an Indian of Taras Hashem Beficha, what does it mean the Taras Hashem is in your mouth, that you could only make tefillin out of that which is Mutter Beficha, Minah Mutter Beficha, only that which you could eat. That which is kosher, can be used to make tefillin, but that which is not is possible for tefillin. So that's certainly true. That's a given as tashmishei kedusha. And the Gemara says, okay, but maybe that's only the klaf and the osios, the writing of the actual klaf and the parchment. But maybe when it comes to the or, the leather, to make the bais, the batim are made of or. They take leather and they process it and they shape it. So maybe that or, that doesn't require a kosher animal because that's not the osios. So bais is, what do you mean? The shin of tefillin on the shel rosh, right? There's two shins. There's a shin with three branches and there's a shin with four branches. Derech agav, that the three and the four represents Gimel and Dalet. They point out that the Gimel and Dalet, the Gra says, is the three Avos and the four Imahos. Or some say the three is Gimel and Dalet, Gomel Dalim. You put the Gomel, the Gemara and Shabbat says, to give. The Gimel Dalet in order is you give those who are Dal, those who are poor, you complete two opposites. So three and four is three Avos and Dalet Imahos. You put the two together. The two shins are actually sus of susum. So the Gra writes that the greatest type of sason is when two opposites come together, male and female, husband and wife, a gomel and usher and a dal of poor people, they come together, that's sason. That's why there's an inyan of tefillin of being sason. That's why by the chasa there's an inyan of sason. When there are two opposites come together, he says, clapping hands, right hand, left hand, that's clap, that's sason. So that's the inyan of the three and the four of the branches of the shin, but that's part of shakai, shem Hashem, shin dal yud. And since it has the letter shin in it, so that's why even the or, even the batim requires coming from that which is kosher as well. So then he goes on to, what about the ritzuos, the straps? Ah, you're going to tell me, Peter points out, the straps themselves, there's a dalid and there's the yud. And that Tosas says is not really part of the Shem Hashem. It's nice and all, but if it's part of the Shem Hashem, Tosas writes, every time you undo the dalid, or, you know, you used to undo the dalid, that means you're, you know, or dalid here, wherever the dalid is, or the shin, that means you're erasing Hashem's name. So that's not really Shem Hashem. The shin in the Sharosh, that's definitely shin of Shem Hashem. But the Dal Niyur, it's nice, it's an Indian, you should do it, it's a chiv to do it, but that's not part of the ksiva of Shem Hashem. So the Ritzuos don't really require the kosher animals, except for the fact that it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, which dictates that the Ritzuos do require coming from a kosher animal. So that's the starting off point. Tefillin, and by extension, all other Tashmisha Kedusha require Minamuta Beficha. So now, Nod Huda speaks this all out, and he extends it from Tefillin to Sefer Torah to Mezuzah. But then he says that what about the Mishkan, what about the Mikdash, what about Bigdei Kuna? And he says there's an interesting distinction, because at first glance, one would say if the Ritzuos, which are not really Tashmisha Kedusha, I mean, rather, they are Tashmisha Kedusha, but not Osios themselves. If the Ritzuos need to come from a Behemoth Torah, so certainly the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, or Tashmisha Kedusha, that should also require Behemoth Torah. So he makes an interesting distinction. He says there's a difference between that which is Nitpal, that which is Tufel, versus that which is Tashmisha Kedusha. So in other words, the Batim themselves is Mamish Kedusha. The Ritzuos are tufel, it's secondary, they're attached to the batim. But then there's the Mishkan, which is what's called Tashmisha Kedusha. They're serving the Kedusha, but they're not tufel to the Kedusha. The Shekhinah is Shorah inside. The Shekhinah is Kedusha, but the walls and everything a part of it is just, it's serving it, but it's not attached to the Shekhinah. So the Ritzuos, if you're building hierarchies, levels of Kedusha, there's the actual Torah, which is Sefer Torah, Tefillin Mezuzah, that's Torah. There's tufel to the Torah, which are Ritzuos. And then there's the Tashmisha Kedusha, which is a lower level than that, which is things that serve it, like the Mishkan, or perhaps the bag of tefillin, the tikshel tefillin, that's Tashmisha Kedusha, that's even lower than the actual Ritzuos. And these are the different levels that the Nod Yehuda actually built. And therefore he says it's possible that the Mishkan, although the Mishkan could come from a Behemoth Temeah, the dye, the coloring could come from a Behemoth Temeah, and Ritzuos cannot, because this distinction of Tafel versus a lower level of a Tashmishei Kedusha. But then he asks a bomb question. He says that, you know, there's a Magen Avraham on this simon, it wasn't the Maariv Makomos, but the Magen Avraham says that just like we say Minamut Beficha applies to Tefillin, that's actually the model for Kol Torah Kula. All mitzvahs require Minamut Beficha from a Behemoth Torah. And so the Nod Yehuda asks the question, is that really true? So the Gemara Mefurish in Sukkah Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph says that if you have a peel, an elephant, that's tied down, of course elephants are big enough to be no problem of the size of the height of the wall, so you have a peel, you could use that as a dauphin of a sukkah. Now, let's mind the public that a peel isn't kosher. So a behemah temeah is kosher for the dauphin of a sukkah. That's a mitzvah. That's a melechah shemayim. So he says, how could the Magen Avraham say that every single mitzvah requires from a behemah Torah? The Mefurish Gemara in Sukkah says it's not true. You could use a behemah temeah for sukkah, so too you could use a behemah temeah for a shofar, for whatever else you want to use. I said, maybe you'll make a distinction because a shofar is kevin zikaron, it's klifnim dami, and therefore it's a higher level, it's not just stama mitzvah, it's a higher level mitzvah, goes into the kodesh kodashim. Maybe you'll make such a distinction like that. So he's not so comfortable with such a distinction, but he suggests. So I think, you know, in this distinction of the Noda Bihuda, that, okay, the shofar is more chamer than sukkah, because shofar, maybe that requires a behemah Torah, because that's a kevel and zikaron, but a sukkah is just a regular tashmishi mitzvah, that certainly doesn't have any high levels of tashmishi kedusha. So maybe you can make a chiluk that only a shofar requires behemah Torah, not a sukkah. But the truth is, if we just take a moment and talk about sukkah, there's also what to say about sukkah being tashmishi kedusha. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What's a raya that perhaps sukkah is tashmishi kedusha? So there's a gemara in sukkah daf tesam and aleph. There's a machlokus in the mission between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai whether a sukkah yeshana, an old sukkah, is kosher or not kosher. And the mission says that according to Beis Shammai, an old sukkah is pasul. Beis Hillel says a old sukkah is kosher. So what's the basis for this? So the Gemara says, quotes a pasuk, Chag Sukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem, that sukkah must be made just for the Chag and not more than the Chag. That's why Beis Shammai says, if it's old from last year, it's pasul. What does Beis Hillel do with the pasuk of Chag Sukkos Shivas Yamim LaHashem? Says the Gemara, he quotes from Rabbi Akiva, Minayin La'atze Sukkah She'asurim Kol Shiva. How do you know that the wood, the, let's see which parts of the sukkah, but ati sukkah are asur, all 7 days, tamalomar, chag hasukos, shivas yamim la'ashem, they're la'ashem. There's a hektesh, a tzchal, on the sukkah. So most, I think all Rishon hold that this is actually a din deraisa. There's an isra'na to get from sukkah during sukkahs. When sukkahs is over, there's a debate, it might only be in the bottom, but during sukkahs itself, I think all Rishom hold is an Issa Deraisa to get Hana. So we see that there's an Indian here of a, what they call here, a Chalos Hektesh, a Chalos Shem Shemaim on the Sukkah. So now there's a debate, which part of the Sukkah is it referring to? So if you look throughout Rashi, I know we're not learning Masechah Sukkah, maybe it's a good limit for next summer, Mir Tashem, but Rashi always focuses on Schach, the Shem Sukkah, because it's a Schach, you just pay attention, it's always about the Schach. Sukkah is Ikru, Sukkah be Al Shem Schach. Because there is the machlokus between the Rambam and the Rush, how to understand this Gemara, that Atzei Sukkah is Asurim Kol Shiva. The Rambam holds that applies Bein L'Schach, Bein L'Dofnei HaSukkah. That there's an Isser on the Schach, and there's an Isser on the walls as well. And the Rush argues, and the Rush says it's only on the Schach, this Indian, but not on the walls. So if Salvechik explained, because the Rush understands, like Rashi, that a sukkah's essence is really the schach, and the walls are simply a hechsher mitzvah. But the Rambam holds the essence of a sukkah is both the schach and the walls, and therefore the iser hana applies to the entire package. If you want to take a look at the Rav Salvechik, the beginning of Rishimos Shiurim in Sukkah, he talks about the karka. According to all opinions, karka is not. There's no chalos shem iser on the karka. It's not the shem sukkah at all. But what comes out from this, though, is that if you assume like the Rambam, that the Shem Sukkah is also on the walls of the Sukkah, and there's an Isser Anah, that Isser of Kol Shiva, Chag Sukkah, Shivas Hashem, Yamim Lashem, applies to the walls as well. So this is Melech HaShemayim. This is a certain Kedusha. It's kind of like the Shofar. The Shofar is a Zikaron Kilefnim Dami. There's a certain Hektish to it. And according to that, then you would say, and the Rambam agrees that a peel is kosher, it brings a halal lacha. An elephant could serve as a wall. So this would be a riot that if you could use an elephant for the wall of a sukkah, which is a certain hekdesh, so certainly you should be able to use it for a shofar as well. So although the Noda B'Huda makes a distinction between the shofar being more of a kilifnim as opposed to the sukkah, I'm just pointing out that it's possible that this distinction may not be the case. It's a machlokas Rishonim, I think. That for the Rambam, he might equate the two, or put them close to each other, both the shofar and the walls of the sukkah, while the Rush would make this distinction. Okay, so now, other applications of this concept of whether or not Behema Torah is necessary by other mitzvahs. So this is a very nice note of Yehuda. So hopefully you got a chance to see the Beis Yitzchak. If not, I'll share with you, we'll learn it together now. Now, as just an interesting background to this, he's talking about whether or not a kosher, or rather a treif oil, chalev, or fat from chazer, would be considered pasul for Neris Chanukah, Neris Shabbos, based on the concept of a kol melachas shemayim eino ba'ela mi behema tahora, min amut b'ficha. That's the question he wants to know. So there's an interesting shari tshuva in Hilchas Chanukah. He talks about, this is found in Siman Tav Resh Ayin Gimel, the first shari tshuva there, it's a very nice piece. I'm not sure who's doing b'smicha yet, if yet, or you will, and bas b'chal, everyone gets excited when they see it. It also appears in the Pisgei tshuva in bas b'chalav, about whether or not you can use the bas b'chalav fat for Neris Chanukah. So everyone gets excited, because bas b'chalav is pretty intense. You hear like a little Neris Chanukah thing, you get a little excited, it's a little bit lighter. So it's found in two places, one in Pisgei tshuva, and one in Shari tshuva in Hilchos Chanukah. So Shari tshuva says, can you use bas b'chalav for Neris Chanukah? So he's not speaking about the Indian of using kosher food for mitzvahs in general. His Indian is bas b'chalav is aser b'hana. That's another element. Another Indian, you can't get hana from it. And he says, but we'll get to the sugi hopefully in Chavches. Mitzvahs lav lehenas nitnu. So you don't have to get hana. Who cares? Bas b'chalav, when I do a mitzvah, so there's no problem of getting hana. We don't acknowledge light. We don't acknowledge mitzvahs as being hana. So lighting Neris Chanukah is not called hana from bas b'chalav. He says, still, bas b'chalav is pasul for Neris Chanukah. Why? Because you need a shear. You need a shear of shemen. And since there's a requirement to get rid of bas b'chalav, it's what the Gemara refers to as a ketuse mechta shi'ura, that something that's avodah zarah, a shofar of avodah zarah is pasul because it's not a shear. You have to get rid of the avodah zarah. Even though it's physically here, palachal, you have to get rid of it. So we don't acknowledge that as being a shear. The bas b'chalav as well is not considered a shear. It's physically here, but you have to get rid of it. So it's not considered a shear. And for Neris Chanukah, you need there to be a shear of shemen for 30 minutes to be yotzei the mitzvah. So that's why the Shari Tshuva writes off the ability to use bas b'chalav, because it's iser hana. But we're talking about cases that there's no iser hana. We're talking about cases that are just stam treif. You can't eat it. Is that allowed to be used for Neris Chanukah, Neris Shabbos? So at first glance, the Beit Yitzchak says that maybe it shouldn't be allowed because kol mlechas shemayim lehuchshur elu behema Torah. So you shouldn't be able to use chaylev that comes from chazer. But then he brings a very, very interesting distinction. He says that he quotes Yushalmi in Sota. Actually, I'm not sure where it is. Doesn't say what Yushalmi is. The Yushalmi has a machlok is whether or not when you're writing the sota, the cloth of the sota, can you write on a non-kosher animal or not? So he says, Yushalmi says, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua Omer ein kosher megil sota al or behema tmei. You cannot write sota, the words of the sota, on a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Shimon says, you're allowed to. Why? Chayven de at amar l'mechika nitna lama ino kosif. Since you plan on erasing the sota, right? You write the letters, you put it in the water, it all erases. So then there's no issue. Why is that a svara? Because you're erasing it. So the Beit Yitzchak explained, because the whole idea, why can you write osios, why can you use non-kosher animals for mitzvahs? Because it's a ganayla mitzvah. Disgraceful. It's a disgusting thing to write and keep mitzvahs on that which is behemah tameh. But he says it's only true if you plan on keeping the mitzvahs around. A shofar, tefillin. When it comes to sota, the whole goal is to erase the letters. It's l'mechika asi. And therefore he says, since it's asi l'mechika, it's allowed to, you can write it on the paper, the parchment, temporarily, because in a few moments, you're going to end up burning or erasing it. So he says, according to the svar, that whenever something is going to be erased and only temporary, you can write on Beim HaTmei, you can use a non-kosher animal. Same thing, he says, Ulefize b'neiro shel Shabbos v'chanaka d'lesreifa kaimu, that you're supposed to burn the oil, l'chuli alma mutar, he's mechadesh. You're allowed to use it. Bas b'chalv is a different problem of Isser Hana. It's not Isser Hana. This is just an Isser of what he calls a genai of using non-kosher animals for a mitzvah. But if the point is not to keep it around, then he thinks everyone would allow you to use it. Which is interesting halach l'maisa. I don't know if anyone checks, you know, what type of oil they buy or wax they buy for Neres Shabbos, Neres Chanukah. Typically it's Shemen Zayas and Neres Chanukah, so not really much of a concern. But I don't know what type of oils people use. I don't know where they come from. It could be that it's not even an issue. It comes from vegetables. I don't know where these things come from. But if a person happens to come across a non-kosher based oil, it would be fine according to the Beis Yitzchak. It's important, I made to mention, in terms of non-kosher items and ingredients. One child that comes up, shampoos and soap, oftentimes has non-kosher fats in it. So there's a shiloh whether or not you could use it. Because there's a Raman Hilchot Shabbos that talks about rubbing fat for soap on Shabbos. And there, the Be'er Halacha points out, he was only concerned with Hilchot Shabbos. He wasn't concerned with any treif being there. So the Be'er Halacha quotes a machlokas. It's based on the concept the Gemara in Yuma and Shabbos talks about Sicha kashtia, based on the pasuk. Sicha, when you rub oil on yourself, the pasuk compares it to drinking. So that's why on Yom Kippur, sicha, rubbing oil, is like shtia, it's like drinking. It's one of the inuim on Yom Kippur. So based on this, some Rishonim say, well, then you can't take chalef, that which is asr, you can't take fats from pigs or non-kosher animals, rubbing on the skin is like shtia, it's like drinking it. That's asr. So the Be'er Halacha quotes such a machlokas, and he says, medaktikim are careful about this, but you don't have to be machmir on this. And most posts are not machmir on this, because that's only true when you're taking actual fat that's edible. But in the soap and the shampoo we have, it's not edible. So even if there is non-kosher fat in there, it's nifsal, and it's not considered shtia. It's only sicha kashia when the mamash, the shemen, is edible. But in this case, it's not. So that's in terms of ingredients in general. But I don't know what goes on in ingredients in terms of the oils that we use here in lighting candles, but according to the Beis Yitzchak, it wouldn't be a shiloh anyways, because the whole point is to burn it, to get rid of it. It's only a shiloh if it's something that's going to stick around, that's asal kaima. So then the Beis Yitzchak goes into an interesting discussion. What about Megillah? What about Chanukah? See, he doesn't quote from who, but he says some hold that this concept only applies to Dinei Deraisa, not Dinei Derabanan. But then he says, but since Megillah is what we call Divrei Kabbalah, so it has a Din of a Deraisa, so then it should be applied to Megillah as well, and Megillah has to come from that which is Kasher. Everyone's good so far? Okay, let's just do one last piece. One last idea from the Avnei Nezer. So Avnei Nezer is going through a whole long discussion, but he ends up talking about a very interesting distinction with regards to Tcheles. Tcheles is not an interesting topic. What is the Chilazon? Where does Tcheles come from? Is it a snail? Is it a fish? What type of fish? What type of... But in this discussion, Avnei Nezer says that from the Rambam, Rambam says in Hilchos Tzitzis, he's mechalik between Tcheles that's mentioned by Hilchos Tzitzis and Tcheles that's mentioned elsewhere, like by the Bigdei Kuna and by the Mishkan. And he says, Tcheles by Tzitzis must come from the Chilazon, dafka from the Chilazon. But when it comes to the Dinim of Bigdei Kuna, he writes in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, that you don't require Tcheles from Chilazon, it could be from any. You could produce tcheles from different items, different mixtures of dye. You could create such a color of tcheles that reminds you of the rakia. So what's the distinction? Why by tzitzis is tcheles from chilazon is specific? But when it comes to the big dekunet, not the case. So he's mechadish the following din. The Avnei Nezer says, he thinks according to the Rambam, that the chilazon comes from a dag tameh, a non-kosher fish, behema tameh. And he says, how could that be the case? How could you allow a chilazon, a dag tameh, for mlechas a mishkan, a big day kuhuna? You can only use a kosher animal. So from here we see, that's why he says that with respect to Big Day Kuna, you dafka don't use the chilazon. You can't, you're right, that's a good question. When it comes to Melech HaShemayim, the Mishkan, it comes to Big Day Kuna, you can't use a non-kosher animal. So he doesn't specify chilazon in Hilchas Mikdash, because you can use chilazon. To Dag Tama, use the other ingredients, other animals that are kosher, that could produce the same color, but not a chilazon because of this very concept. That's his chiddush. However, when it comes to tzitzis, which is only tashmishei mitzvah, it's not Melech HaShemayim. Melech HaShemayim is something that's hektish, whether it's kedusha, tashmish kedusha, hektish, to a higher level. Lav davka osios. Now there's a discussion about Big Day Kuna, it's hektish. You get hana, it's a violation of me'ila. So only things that have a hektish to it or kedusha to it have the requirement of that which is kosher. But tzitzis, which is only tashmishei mitzvah, right, what's the difference? What's the big nafkamina between tashmishei kedusha, tashmishei mitzvah? Geniza, right? How you get rid of it when it no longer is needed. So tashmishei kedusha, you need to bury it in the ground. But tashmishei mitzvah, you just have to, you can't show disrespect to it. Doesn't have to go in the ground. Put it in a bag and throw it in the garbage. Some poskim say that there's an Indian of a chumrah to even do geniza by tzitzis. So I tell people, if you want to do the chumrah, that's great. It's nice to do chumrahs. But it shouldn't be on someone else's expense. So in other words, if you're going to drop your tzitzis off in the shul, make the shul pay for it, that would be wrong to have your chumrahs be on the expense of the shul. So if you want to do a chumrah, make sure to pay for it. Even stam shemos, when you have the shul do it, you should also pay for the shemos also. But certainly your own chumrahs, you should not impose your own chumrahs as a general point to a shul, and not to parents, not to in-laws. It's something someone is important to know, you know, when dealing with certain shilas, what's considered a chumrah, what's not. That's why it's utmost importance, you know, when no one here is a rav yet, maybe you'll become a rav in a posek, but as poskim, one has to be very, very clear. You can't just poskim based on what you see in the Mishnah Berurah. There's a slew of, you know, poskim out there. There's Aruch HaShulchan, and there's Shalos and Shuvos, there's a ton of them. And a posek has to be aware of all the different options because he has to know when to apply chumrah, when not to. So, you know, I'll tell you an example. Right now, I got a shaila just before. A person texted me. He's been very, very machmir. He heard my shir yesterday about tonight, Bina Matsarim begins. Avelis begins tonight. No music, no haircuts, everything begins tonight. So he said he planned something and he wanted to know whether he could. He doesn't normally listen to a cappella music during the 3 weeks. That has been his minog. But now he planned something. He wasn't aware that it starts tonight. Could he listen to a cappella music? So I needed to know the situation, whether or not I should allow for him or not. Now, that's the biggest deal in the world. Rav Shechter just came out to tshuva today. That person could listen to music during 3 weeks. This particular year of COVID, the person feels very down and depressed and lonely. So music's it's a minog during these times, a minog avelis. If a person needs to hear music, then there's a heter for it. So I needed to know what I'm talking about here, what the situation is. A cappella, there's a chumrah, you know, not there's a kula to listen to it, but many say not to listen to a cappella music. So it's not like the biggest shaila in the world, but still, the guy wanted to know whether he could break his minog of not listening to a cappella music. So I wanted to know what the details, what was planned tonight. Was it a big deal? Do you really need the music? Do you not need the music? So it was very sweet. He told me that I didn't want to be invasive to ask what he was doing with the music, but if I want to answer the question, if he's going to a huge big party and play a cappella music, and Rabbi Levin said you could have the a cappella music, so then great, this guy allows music wherever you go. So I wanted to know the details. So again, I feel bad, but people tell rabbis personal things all the time. So I didn't really feel that bad. But I asked him, and he said to me, he's very sweet. He must have been uncomfortable when he was texting this to me. But he had said that he's planning a date with his wife in his backyard. It's the anniversary of their 17 years anniversary of their first date. Tonight, I guess, was their first date. So he's celebrating it in the backyard. And I'm not sure what he had planned, but I guess he wanted music added to the celebration. So I said, go for it, enjoy. Very nice. The many reasons to be makel. It's a cappella music. It's the night. Maybe some hold it doesn't begin tonight. And you planned it anyways. No other time worked for you. I said, go for it. But I'm just saying the point being that it's important to know chumras, kulas, all different shitas, because to give just one psak with the Mishnah Berurah says across the board could be very, very dangerous. And especially dealing with family and parents, sometimes you have to know kulas. When people are boys, young boys or young girls are getting more religious than their parents, So you have to know what, you know, what's worth a fight, what's not worth a fight. And you have to know what coolest to apply to them. So why did I get there? He's like, Mordechai, why did I get there again? Remember? Oh, Tashmishi Mitzvah, right, the tzitzis. Putting Geniza in the tzitzis. So I said, that's a chumrah. To put it in a Geniza, that's a chumrah in doing so. But again, I'm saying don't have any chumras on someone else's expense. That being the case, since tzitzis is Tashmishi Mitzvah, so the Rambam says, dafka there does he say chilazim. Because even the chilazim is a dag tameh. You don't need a melechas shemayim, you don't need a davar hechsher, davar mutter. You only need from melechas shemayim, that which is hekdesh, that which is tashmishe kedusha. But tashmishe mitzvah, the Avni Nezer says you don't need it. You don't need that which is kasher. Ah, what about shofar? The shofar is different. Because since shofar is dilizikaron kasu, it's not just stam tashmishe mitzvah, it's a higher level. And therefore, it's possible, according to the Ran, one should be more machmir in this regard. So a very big nafkamina would come out, actually, for this. What would one do with an old or broken shofar? Would you get rid of it? I don't know, I just thought of it right now. But could you just put it in a bag and throw it in the garbage? Is it tashmishi mitzvah like tzitzis? Or maybe it's a little bit more than that. It's not certainly not like tefillin or sefer Torah. But maybe it's a little bit higher level where maybe it should require geniza. I think Pashup shot it, it's like tzitzis. But you see, there's a certain Indian, there's a higher level of shofar being kevan tilitzi karon dami. Okay, we'll stop here. And Mirta Hashem, we will continue tomorrow.